Welcome to All Road 65 Max Radio, where the road ahead gets brighter as we journey towards truth, traveling through our dreams and an inspiration into a new reality. It's time, and your ticket is waiting. All Roads Lead 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson.
Greetings. Thank you for joining me on BBS Radio, All Roads 65 Max Radio. I am your host, Pamela L. Henderson. My focus is my mission statement, to help create a quality of life through social growth, inspiring Jews to become leaders by establishing partnerships with entrepreneurs, corporations, donors, sponsors, volunteers, the community, and abroad. Please join me every other Tuesday at noon on BBS Radio, All Roads 65 Max. And follow me, coming soon, once again, stronger and better, at allroads65max.org. My special guest today is Mr. Lim Garcia, who is a special injury attorney and founder of Lim Garcia Law in West Covina, California. He specializes in car, truck, motorcycle accident cases, slip and fall injuries, and wrongful death claims. Known for his personalized approach, he is known to provide clear communication and hands-on legal representation to ensure his clients understand their rights on legal representation to ensure his clients understand thoroughly. With a track record of successful settlements and courtroom wins, great. Lim's dedication to his clients has earned him a strong reputation for trust and integrity in Southern California's legal community. At last, I want to say thank you again, Lim, for joining me on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me so much.
You're so welcome. I have a lot of questions. I am absolutely inspired for anyone who advocates for the well-being of the human race. I have to say that. And again, Lim, I am absolutely proud that you are determined to bring awareness about such a sensitive subject that the world needs to know. Also, we must continue to be educated.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So with that being said, like I said, I have a lot of questions. So I'm going to start with the challenges, because when we are faced with casualty, we're faced with challenges. So tell me, do families face when pursuing civil claims after a hit and run, especially when the driver is never identified? That right there stuck with me, because a lot of times people face hit and run, and then the driver either leaves or something and not show up. What happens?
So I think it's really challenging for families when they're involved in a hit and run. Number one, because they're involved in an accident and they don't know what's going on. And then they see the person that hit them just take off. Or maybe they don't even see that person. They go outside and they wonder what happened. So the first thought they have is, wow, am I going to be okay? And then how are we going to hold that person responsible? Or how am I going to be able to put my life back together after this accident when the person that's responsible left? And I think that's a really traumatic event that people need guidance to make sure that their legal rights are taken care of, they get compensated fairly, and that they're put in a position back to where they were hopefully before the accident.
Great, great question, great answer. How can uninsured or underinsured motorist coverage help hit and run victims? And why is it critical for all drivers to have this protection?
So when you're involved in a hit and run accident and the other party is nowhere to be seen, you can't hold them responsible, you need to have uninsured motorist coverage to pay for your damages, because that other party is not going to pay. Now you need your own insurance company to step in, and your uninsured motorist coverage will pay for your bodily injury claim. If you had the right coverage, it'll pay for the damage to your car. So the bodily injury claim is, for your medical bills, it's for your pain and suffering, it's for your lost wages, it's for those types of damages that occur after an accident. And if you don't have that coverage, then you're really just left, with those damages and nothing to get compensated, or you can't get made whole from that accident if you don't have that coverage.
And what role can policymakers, as you stated, play in ensuring victims have access to resources and support after a hit and run accident?
Well, policymakers can help make sure that people do have uninsured motorist coverage by requiring the insurance company to provide that coverage if they already have liability coverage. So people are required to have their own liability coverage, but that the liability coverage only pays for third-party damages. So if you don't purchase uninsured motorist coverage, then you won't have it. But I think we can make a change by requiring insurance carriers to provide that type of insurance as a default, and that it's harder to remove that from your policy. So I think there's already some things in place. I mean, in California, you are required to sign off that you do not want to have uninsured motorist coverage. I'm not sure if that applies in all states, but at least in California, there is that requirement that if you don't want uninsured motorist coverage, that you have to sign a document. And if the insurance company cannot provide that document that you signed, that you don't want uninsured motorist coverage,
Okay.
then you will have uninsured motorist coverage if they can't provide that document.
So, do you have a story personally of, about yourself? Of have you faced any hit and runs or a tragedy that happened to you? And you're now this advocate and lawyer that are helping people now?
Well, personally, I've never been involved in a hit and run accident. I've been involved in accidents. And thankfully, when I was hit by someone that has the largest policy possible, which is the postal truck. It's the federal government. So there was no issue with insurance there, and that person stayed, and I was able to, pursue the case there. But as far as being an advocate for victims of hit and runs, I mean, it's unfortunately very common for people to get involved with an accident with someone who either does not have insurance or the person does flee. I have a very close cousin of mine with my nephews that were in a car accident, and they were hit by a hit and run driver. Thankfully, they were able to find that person, but it does hit very close to home because that family, they were involved in a hit and run, and they did suffer some serious injuries, and I was able to help them out through both the third party coverage and uninsured motorist coverage. So just to be clear, your uninsured motorist coverage covers both when the person that hits you does not have insurance or flees, and also covers you the person that hits you does not have enough coverage to compensate you. So it really is a helpful tool if you're involved in an accident.
Okay. Now, you also stated that hit and runs are not random accidents. They are preventable crimes. Let's elaborate on that because that's very important for me personally to understand because I tend to think sometimes that they can be deliberate. But why would you make that comment?
So they're not random in that when someone does crash into somebody else, let's say they rear-end somebody, they're not sure what they want to do at first. I think there's a split second decision that they're making, and it's fight or flight. And then they say, well, I could stay and be held responsible for what happened, and it looks like a really bad crash, and their car's totaled. The car could be, $30,000, $40,000. They're responsible for that. And then on top, the next thing, who knows how injured the people are inside? They're responsible for their injuries, which should be hundreds of thousands, if not more.
Okay.
And if they don't have insurance, then they could be held personally responsible for that. And this is all calculus going on in their heads after the accident. And they can decide whether to stay and be held responsible for what happened, which is the responsible thing to do, obviously, or they can just flee. and they see the road ahead, and they can say, well, I'm just gonna get going and leave them to their injuries and their damages, and then I'm gonna hopefully get away from this and not have to worry about it. So I think that, it's not just something that just happens. The other party is making a very conscious decision to leave the scene.
Okay, good point. Good point. What legal options do victims of hit and run accidents have to seek compensation for medical expenses, lost wages, and pain and suffering?
So a victim of a hit and run, they can try to find the third party and hold them responsible. It'll be really difficult to do that because, most likely the evidence won't be there to find out who caused the accident. Most likely the witnesses, there won't be any witnesses, there won't be any video cameras. Most likely you don't have a dash cam if you're fortunate to have a dash cam that captures who caused the accident, then that's helpful. But then a lot of the times, the people that do flee, they don't have insurance. So it doesn't even matter because they most likely don't have insurance, and they most likely don't have assets that you can get compensated from. So the next remedy is to go to your own insurance company. If you have uninsured motorist coverage, then your own insurance company, to whatever your limits are, they will compensate you for those damages, your pain and suffering, your medical bills, your future pain and suffering, your future medical bills. Your insurance company through the UM coverage is responsible for those damages.
And what are the, so say, so that person fled the scene and I'm driving with no insurance, but I need to do something about this and I, file the claim, make a police report, and I'm going to hire you. What are my out-of-pocket costs?
So if you decide to hire me or a personal injury firm to represent you, your out-of-pocket cost is to start up usually zero. We're not charging you to start up. There's nothing, you don't pay anything down. We get paid at the end of the case once we've recovered money from either the third party or your own insurance carrier. We get reimbursed for our costs on the case, if whatever we spent. And then our fee also comes from the recovery. If it so happens that the other party doesn't have insurance, you don't have UM coverage, there's no way to get any money on the case, and we spent, whatever we spent on the case, but we don't recover anything, then it's just a loss on us. We take that chance, and it's usually not even a huge risk, but we do take that chance to provide that access to justice so that you can, make sure that every avenue was explored before deciding that we can't pursue the case any further.
Okay.
So it's really risk-free to the client.
Very good. That's good to know. Because a lot of times that is what keeps people from moving forward because they know, oh, I don't have insurance and what I'm gonna do and what about the cost and things of that nature. And a lot of times, when you sought after for a lawyer and everything, it is upfront expense. And then you don't have it and you back the plan once. So that's the reason why I had asked that question, because for the audience to understand that this is what your law firm is about. And speaking of that, tell me a little bit about the Garcia Law Firm.
Well, the Lem Garcia Law was started in 2014. I started it just by myself, and then like a couple years later, my wife joined. She's a lawyer as well, and since then we've grown at a good pace. And now there's 20 people that work here, and from very humble beginnings, we started out obviously with just one client. Now we help hundreds of people every year. And we really pride ourselves on providing excellent service to clients to make sure that they feel heard, that we just take the time to make sure that they're guided from the beginning to the end, and all their questions get answered, all their concerns are put to bed as much as possible. And it's not just about moving the clients as quickly as possible. It's really about providing as much service as we can to people who need help. We're just here to give people that peace of mind after an accident, let them know that things are going to be okay, this is how the process works. You're not left in the dark about what's happening, and you really just feel secure in that things are going to work out for you.
Okay. Well, that's good. Are you covering other locations outside of West Covina or?
And our main office is in West Covina, Southern California. We serve the entire California. So I've gotten calls from people, even farther north than San Francisco. They found our website, they liked what they read, they liked our reviews, and then they called and I spoke to them and they wanted us to represent them, and we're able to do that just up and down California.
Wow. Okay. That's good to know. The website is the
Yes, people find it. I don't, you know, there's content there, people find us.
magic, right? That's right. Oh, so tell me, how can international victims like Nalam Shind, if I'm pronouncing that correct, navigate the U.S. legal system to secure justice and financial support for their injuries? That's good to know because, such as I choose girls all over the world, come here, go to school through my program, and say some that has been here for a while and they get their driver's license or whatever and have an accident, but they're from other countries. Tell me a little bit about that.
I think international victims face a lot of the same issues as people that are in the United States, but then they add another layer in that they're not familiar with the US system and that there might be issues with communicating. They're just, they're not on the ground. They don't know what needs to get done. So what they can do to help themselves is to get an attorney that's local to where the accident happened. Advocating, pushing, making sure that things are moving forward, and someone that they can communicate with clearly, and maybe speak the same language if there's a different language that they speak besides English, just to make sure things are moving forward and that everything that needs to get attended to, whether it's a police report or a court hearing, talking to the insurance company, like all those barriers are just removed by having local counsel represent you.
Okay, thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. So you are well known throughout the community, right? What steps can communities take to raise awareness about hit and run accidents and support victims in their recovery?
Well, I think communities like Facebook and social media is really important in bringing awareness to issues on what to do or what not to do, getting people to the right person that can help. Like locally in West Covina, there's message groups that for the just the community, and people do post on there like, "Hey, well, who should I go to after an attorney, or who should I go to for help after an accident?" And the people on the site have positive experiences with different attorneys, and then they refer them out. And I think that's one really good tool is just, talking to people in your community, find out what did they do in a similar situation, and then just, getting guided to the right person.
Okay. What is the timeline for resolving civil case matters? And I think that's the main question that would be asked, because we all, when we come to a lawyer, we want to know, is this a drag out, what, 4 years, 5 years? What
Yeah.
is the timeline?
Yeah, I mean
Just
that's a really common question, and I understand the need to close things quickly. You want to put the matter behind you, and we want to move things quickly as possible for you as well. We understand that you've been through a traumatic event and that you want to have justice sooner than later.
Right.
So we don't want the process to drag on, but if necessary, I mean, that's just what's necessary. We want to make sure you get compensated fully. And if the insurance company is playing games and they don't want to compensate you fully, they want to pay you $10,000 when your case is worth $50,000, we have to do the work that's necessary. And sometimes that work can take, short as 6 months, it could take a year, it could take 2 years, it could take even longer than that. But we want to make sure that the focus is on making sure that you get compensated right. And if we rush and say, well, we only have 6 months, then we don't want to sell her a case for 10,000 when it's worth 50, right?
Right.
We want to get that 50 and just give us that time that's needed. Some cases do take just a couple of months or maybe even weeks. Some cases do take years though. It's just every case is different. And I think if there's an attorney that's assuring you that your case will be wrapped up, in a couple weeks or a couple months, and they guarantee you that at a consultation, they just want to sign you up, and then, deal with it later if it takes longer than that, because the answer is that every case is different, and we don't know at the beginning how long it'll take, because we don't know what the insurance company is going to do, if they're going to say, okay, let's play games, let's drag this out, or they're going to pay it right up, pay it up front right away.
Have you had any case that was more than or lasted more than like 2 years?
Yes, I think
Mind tell me about that case?
well, I mean, there was one case, I think it lasted 8 years, I think, and that was because it was a product defect case, and we had to the defendant was an overseas defendant. I think they were in I believe they were in Hong Kong, or
Wow.
yeah, so it was quite complicated, and they thought that they could just avert the justice system by essentially just playing games themselves and saying, oh, they're not available for this hearing or that hearing, and just drag it out and tire us out. But yeah, I mean, justice can be patient, or needs to be patient a lot of the time. So we just hung in there, and after 8 years, I think it was 8 years, we were able to resolve it.
Wow, you won that case, right? 8 years,
Yeah,
long
it
time.
settled. Yeah, it settled.
Yeah.
Yeah, it we didn't want it to take that long, and I understand the frustration with the clients in any case that takes, I understand the frustration. I mean, even months can seem long to clients. So we try to keep things moving along, and keep things pushing so that we can close it out sooner than later for everybody.
Right. So 8 years, and here I am hurt, had this injury. So do I, who pays for the doctor bills, because I have to go get rehabilitation.
No, that's a good question. So a lot of the times when you have an injury claim, and you need to see the doctor, you need all this treatment, you need MRIs, you need pain management, you need orthopedics, whatever that it is that you need, personal injury attorneys know medical providers, doctors, diagnostic facilities that will treat you on a lien, which means that you get the treatment, you don't pay anything yet. We will pay them at the end of your case from the settlement. So the doctor is waiting to get, they're not paid until the end of the case, and they're happy to provide excellent care to you until your case resolves.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So I visited your website, and during my research, I seen that you were adamant about your statement when you had said, "This isn't just a statistic, it's a justice crisis." I like that comment. And yet, California has no dedicated statewide task force who or mandatory minimum penalties for hit and run offenders. Tell me about that.
So I really am passionate that there needs to be some sort of penalty that the police, that the court system really pushes for, like against hit and run offenders. Because as it is right now, when we have hit and run cases, we very rarely see any action or penalty against the hit and run offender. It looks like a
Really?
lot of times the police just let it go. It may not even make it onto the police report that it was a hit and run. We have to advocate for that. So I think if there is a penalty in place, and it's significant, the police will know that they need to document that. And then on top of that, the public will know that that's in effect, and hopefully it will put hit and runs like as a thing of the past, because they know that the penalty is so great if they do flee the scene of the accident. versus what it
Okay.
is now, a slap on the wrist, if that, if there is even a penalty.
Really?
As far as what actually happens, right? Yeah.
Huh. That's good to know. I didn't know that. See, that's the reason why I have you on my show today, because that's educating me as well. Because a lot of people are misinformed about certain issues when it comes to hit and runs and what we are up against and the things that we need to do to get our lives back on track and to get healthy. Because I know a lot of times, well, matter of fact, a gentleman about 8 months ago or almost a year that lives by me was in a hit and run. And actually, he's in a wheelchair, but he didn't have no insurance. And I don't think that after speaking to him, he didn't have the proper information or the resources to move forward. So he kind of like is like accepting certain things, but he is getting some help from a nonprofit as far as his health and everything. And that there is an eye-opener. So it's great that you explain that to us.
Yeah, I mean, I think his situation or just anyone that's involved in a hit and run accident, I would highly recommend that you call a reputable personal injury attorney near you. I mean, not our office, but one near you, because personal injury attorneys, we, for the vast majority of us, work on a contingency fee basis, which means that we only paid if there's a recovery in the case, and consultations are free. So you can call an attorney, get free advice, have a consultation, at least so that you know that, you know what your rights are, and that you're speaking to an attorney that's giving you solid legal advice about, you know, what you can or, you know, shouldn't do, what needs to get done, and that's for free. And our interests are aligned with yours, 100%. It's not like, you know, the insurance company where they're trying to conserve their money. And they're not necessarily looking out for you versus an attorney is giving you advice that's 100% for your benefit.
Okay. Now there are a lot of scams going on. I mean, you have people just off the street. They can be professional, made up attorneys and everything else. What is the proper way to go about finding an attorney that is absolutely legitimate, has a good record, and have won cases such as you?
Well, I would say that speak to your friends and family, find out if they know anyone that they've used before so that you can get that, you know, firsthand experience from somebody else, and then maybe cross-check that with the online reviews. You can go on Google or Yelp and see what's on there. And then also just check online like the State Bar website and make sure that, you know, that they are in fact an attorney if they're concerned that, you know, they're holding
Yes.
this out to be and then they're not. You can see the State Bar website that you can see if they have any ethical violations. You could check that out. And then just, yeah, just do a search online. Just make sure things check out online on their website and, you know, different review sites. And I think that's the excellent first step to make sure that, you know, you're on the way to finding the attorney that can help. And then when you do call, make sure that, you know, you have that, I guess, that trust is from the start when you speak to someone, whether it's their receptionist, assistant, and then also next, you know, make sure that you speak to the attorney as well.
Okay. And what about a bond number or a state number that identifies who you are?
Yeah, so the State Bar website will have that information. So you just go to, you know, whatever state that you're in, check out your State Bar's website. You can find the attorney's information there, and they'll have a bar number. They'll have, you know, probably where they went to law school when they graduated, and then when they passed the bar, and then also if there's any ethical violations that they have.
Thank you. Now, how can technology such as our friendly AI, driven license plate tracking, and traffic cameras assist in identifying hit and run drivers and holding them accountable in civil court?
So that is huge. If we have more cameras on the road, that will greatly reduce the number of hit and run accidents, I believe, because now, if we have license plate tracking and the cameras are there, all of these people that do hit and runs, they'll be found. And then, that changed just how people know, like, oh, you get found, that people find you if you do it because there's cameras everywhere.
Yeah, I
But
was
that's,
going to
I
say
don't,
that.
yeah, we're not quite there yet. There aren't cameras everywhere. There are a good number of cameras, ring cameras, intersection cameras. There are, it's a growing number, but I don't think it's to the point where people feel like, oh, I'm gonna get caught right away. Like it's certain. I think people will still take their chances and say, well, I don't think there's a camera. I'm gonna go. So yeah, but I think, with the advancements of AI and more cameras on the road, that it will minimize the number of hit and run accidents eventually.
Eventually. Now, I thought that, because they always say we're being watched, right? Like right now, they're listening to us on our phone. But I thought it was cameras all over the place. But sometimes, we don't have no time to be having our phone up, getting ready to record or anything. But and during a hit and run, in certain, I guess, maybe areas, there are a lot of cameras. And especially at intersections, traffic lights, things like that, but maybe less on residential areas, huh? You think?
Yeah, in residential areas there's fewer, and I think also maybe on the freeway when there aren't any stop signs or anything, you're not gonna have cameras every 30 feet capturing everything, and that's unfortunate. A lot of rear-end accidents happen on the freeway when there's a sudden stop ahead of you. People are
That's
texting,
true.
driving, and they get slammed into, and people can just have said, okay, I'm gonna go in reverse and exit right here. It's
Right.
yeah. There's while there are a growing number of cameras, there still aren't enough to deter hit and run drivers.
Yeah. Wow. So I got this one question. How can a lawyer help someone prove a hit and run driver negligence? And
So
the reason why I ask that real quick is
yeah.
because a lot of times that's the first thing that we want to know when we're going to have to pay all this money out. And I know I'm right, and this is what happened to me. But a lot of times, not having the knowledge, we tend to do things that are not in our best interest.
So when you have an attorney help you after an accident, a hit and run accident, like we know how to make the arguments to the insurance carrier to show that the damage to the car does show that, the other party was at fault for what happened, and not that, you were at fault for what happened and then the other person left. And then on top of it, a very strong argument is that flight, fleeing the scene is a very strong indicator of guilt. So when we make that argument to the insurance carrier for, if you have an uninsured motorist claim, more than 9 times out of 10, the insurance carrier's like, yeah, it agrees and say, yeah, that person left for a reason. They didn't leave because they weren't at fault for what happened. And then, we also make the arguments not just for fault, but also the extent that, we argue for, the extent of your injury. The insurance carrier wants to say, well, you were injured, but you're not that hurt. You don't have that much pain and suffering. Your injury was from something else that happened before the accident. We're going to pay you this, $5,000 for your injury, versus when you have an attorney, we advocate for, the full extent of your injury, and we, argue why, how much your life has changed because of the accident, versus someone who's representing themselves might just say, well, I had, 10 visits to the doctor. What's my case worth to the insurance carrier? And we really advocate for how much has your life changed? Not just today, but also for the future. It's all about telling the client's story of how much they've gone through and how much they will continue to go through because of their injury.
Okay. Now, I'm gonna jump off a little bit because I always ask this question because as advocates, we tend to, when we wanting to help someone, I should say, such as I mentor girls from 14 to 24 years old, and the girls that I mentor, because I help teach and build customer service skills, I have a weakness. which I'm getting better as I speak, because it's hard for me to say no sometimes. But I'm learning to, may not having to say no, but learning to say no, if that makes sense. So we all have weaknesses, sharing our passion and focus experiences, right, with others. What is yours? Do you have any weaknesses?
Of course, I have a weakness. Yeah, I think a big weakness is of mine is thinking that I can do too much in a day or an
Okay.
hour, or just thinking I could do more than I can actually do. Because in the end, I'll say, okay, I can do these 10 things in one day, and then at the end of the day, maybe I just do one or maybe none. And then I think, oh my God, I'm just disappointing myself every single day. So I think just being more reasonable with myself and saying, okay, if I just do this one thing today, that'll be a good day, versus trying to do, 10 things in one day and really thinking that I could do that.
Okay, good. See, thank you very much. I always ask that question because I know we all have weaknesses as advocates, and especially when we're out to help someone. And it's very interesting just to know what are, am I the only one sitting up here where I can't say no to certain
I mean,
things?
to be honest with you, I have that same problem too with a lot of potential clients. I want to help everybody out. Big case, small case, I want to take the time and help them out, take their case. But a lot of times, it's, especially after doing this now for 11 years, I think, have improved in saying no to clients that I say, you know what, I think you'd be better served somewhere else because we really focus on this type of case, or we don't want to spread ourselves too thin. So I've really been able to, I think, to really make that less of a weakness.
Right. So
But
have
it's a
you ever been?
problem. I get it. It's a problem. Yeah.
It is. So have
Yeah.
you ever been overloaded during, you
I
know?
don't think there's a time where I'm not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is
Yeah.
true.
Yeah,
That is
it's
true.
always something. Even if you say no, there's always something else that comes up. There's just, and I don't know who said it, but there's a proverb, like, it's what's after you climb the mountain, what do you see next? There's another mountain.
That is true. So that's my next question. What are your plans moving forward? You just told me that you've been in business over 11 years. What would you like to accomplish as an advocate lawyer who brings awareness about civil side of hit and run cases?
So wait, your question is what's your question exactly? I'm sorry.
So what would you, what are your plans moving forward in the future, bringing awareness about the civil side of hit and run cases? Because a lot of people are not educated, but it's our job as servants to bring this awareness.
Yes, so as far as bringing awareness, I'm always trying to get out and go onto podcasts like this, or make content online, whether it's on the website or Instagram, YouTube, just all the social media platforms, just my Yelp page, my Google page, just making graphics, just really getting the word out there as much as possible to give people the resources they need when they look for it. So it's really about just getting content out there. When people do search things on Google or ChatGPT, wherever they're searching, that hopefully my content is accessible for them, it does show up, and that they're able to find the right content and information to guide them through. And hopefully we, our reputation or our content is at a point where they want to call, and they are able to call and speak to me or to my staff to get the information that they are looking for. So it's just kind of just continuing to build that presence online, so that people can, find us when they need us.
Yeah. And that's another question too. You know, we're getting away from really being able to call someone and talk. We are using robots for everything. And I am an individual, like some things we need to be able to still call and physically talk to someone. So when I go to your website and I need to talk to you. Is there any way for me to reach you, or do I have to talk to this robot who's going to guide me and tell me things that just is not answering my question?
Yeah. So I'm very accessible. You can call the office, ask for me. If I'm not in, I'll give you a call back. You can email me, lem at lemgarcialaw.com. My cell phone number is out there on different places as well. If you want to call or text me, much better at the texting than picking up every call. My cell
Right.
phone's 626-252-2168. And I get that there's information online and you read it, and that's one thing, but people do need that assurance when they want to talk to somebody and they want to hear it from an attorney, like directly from, they want to hear their voice say what they're reading. It just
Absolutely.
gives them the peace of mind. So I'm happy to give that. My staff is happy to give that. We absolutely want to make sure that you get the peace of mind that you're looking for after you've been involved in an accident. People need that.
Yeah, we do. We do. I mean, I understand we are changing and we're going into now it seems like we're going to be the Jetsons. Remember that cartoon, the Jetsons, back in
Course, yeah.
the
It's
But we,
weird, isn't
yeah, it is. It
it?
is. Elon Musk has what, fine cars and everything. And I don't know about out there in, where you live, but we have these cars, called Waymos. Are they
Yeah.
out there?
Yeah, I've seen a couple. I haven't been in one, but I see it and I'm always taken aback by it. Yeah.
Yeah, you haven't been in one yet. Well, I'm going to get my first experience on my grandson's birthday. I'm going to take him. I didn't want to. I'm not ready for that because it's bad enough that I would have to trust someone to drive me, right? That I don't know.
Right.
But to be in the back seat of a car when there's no drivers, like, oh my God, what if something happens or anything
Or they
like
lock
that?
the doors.
Yeah, or they lock the
What do
doors.
you do?
Yeah. So, I've been for a part-time, I create jobs within my foundation. And so I had partnered with Uber and Lyft, and I start driving because I came out with a strategic plan to show the girls who go through my program, and if I'm not hiring within my company, how to make a couple of hundred bucks within a 3-4 hour period. But I come to find out it even works for me too. I don't have to get another contract or anything. I could just work around my schedule. But a long story short, I always ask people whom I tend to meet and everything have, about the Waymo. And then this one executive told me she had gotten, her and her colleagues went out and had some drinks. So she didn't want to drive, of course. And she lived over there by the Golden Gate Bridge around the little mountain and everything. So she had taken a Waymo. And she was like, she will never do that again because I guess, by her being a little intoxicated, she said she was looking over and everything, and all she could do was just see the down of the cliff. But she just had me cracking up. And other people have said that the Waymos is a lot safer than having a driver.
Well, I'm
Very
open to it.
interesting.
I mean, I haven't. I just haven't had the opportunity or the need. But I mean, I'll try it out.
Yeah, well, Waymo is picking up. They are in areas, especially out here in the Bay Area, throughout San Francisco, and I've even seen them in Oakland. So they are moving right along and everything. But hopefully, you'll tell me your story too when you get in one.
Yeah, and I haven't had a case yet where the defendant was a Waymo.
Sorry.
So that's something good on their part. Like they haven't crashed into anybody yet either, so
Well, see,
that I
that's a
know
good
of.
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is so true. So before we go, would you like to, tell us anything else before we leave?
Everybody, just make sure you check your insurance policy. Make sure you have uninsured motorist coverage. Talk to your agent if you don't have any and see how you can get some, because in an emergency and in a hit and run accident, it can come in really handy.
So true. With that being said, well, readers, I have reached my destination, And I leave you with this quote. Let me get my quote. Sorry about that. Well, I don't have my quote, but I'm going to make one up for you. As we move along and things happen, always remember you're not by yourself during tragedies or when you are in need of resources. All it takes is your thumb, your finger to reach out. Have a great day. And thank you so much for joining me. Until next time, have a blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to All Roads 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson. Join us every other week on Tuesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio Station 1. And please visit allroads65max.org and become a volunteer or sponsor and be the change you want to see in this world. With your help, we can make a difference in our society and uplift those who so desperately need our help. Thank you for tuning in.